Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed it. Anyway, you'll find a way. Today's special city is Berlin. Hello, Berlin listeners, both of East Berlin, West Berlin, North Berlin, South Berlin, Central Berlin. I talk about this on the Patreon, so I'm not going to go into detail here, but I have my own mysterious reasons for wanting more listeners in Berlin. I managed to do this very successfully a couple of years ago in Dublin. Hello, Dublin listeners. Not talking about you at the moment, but gee, we're happy to have so many Dublin listeners. But very important that we increase the number of listeners that we have in Berlin. Why? I talk about it a bit on the Patreon. I'm not going to go on and on about it now, but I'm going to find these cities, and we're going to increase. I don't know what I have to do to get people in Berlin to listen. If you're a listener in Berlin, please reach out this week. Every week, I'm going to have a different city out there in the world where we have a tipping point. We almost enough people to manifest one of my intriguing new plans that's coming on. I won't talk too much about the plan yet, but Berlin. I mean, what do we know about Berlin? It's a place where insufferable people from Australia go. Also, some very nice people, but a lot of insufferable people. If you're too insufferable to go to New York, you go to Berlin and you wear, you know, leather, and you go to that nightclub that never closes down, and you have the public sex and the drug taking. Berlin. Black Bear is, I think, their mascot. These are just things off the extemporaneously that I know about Berlin. Man, I got to work a little harder. Well, if you're from Berlin, this is just a shout out for people from Berlin. Hello. And if you can think of a way that I can get more people to listen in Berlin, we could start some sort of youth club, the James Donald Forbes McCann Youth, to excite interest in the podcast and aspirations for boat ownership to the young people of Berlin. Not opposed to an elderly club. I just think a youth club in Germany, there's a strong history of that really working and making impactful social change. Of course, we do a different kind of social change to the other big... well, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Berlin. Okay, now we can start the podcast. The first piece of information for this story is that Adam Gilchrist is a very famous cricket player from Australia. Everybody in Australia knew who Adam Gilchrist was. He played for the national cricket team. When you say Adam Gilchrist, that's who you think. Gilchrist? Adam Gilchrist? That's the guy. This story that I was staying up all late last night reading about on Wikipedia also involves an Australian called Adam Gilchrist. It's not the same. And it's insane that he goes, but this would be like if there was an actor with the first name Michael and the last name Jordan, and he just said, I'm not putting B in the middle of that. I'll be Michael Jordan too. It's bizarre. So Adam Gilchrist, and by the way, AI is not yet at the point where, even though there were many, many stories about this, sang Not the Cricketer in brackets. AI was just like, yeah, this was that happened to the cricketer. So they're not taking everyone's jobs yet. Well, they're taking the jobs, but the what they're doing is worse. Anyway, so Adam Gilchrist ran F45, the gym. He was the gym magnate behind F45. Now, this is gym magnate Adam Gilchrist, not cricket player. And F45 had a big blow up, and what I didn't know is that F45 got really big in America. And then it went on the stock exchange, and then it went bad. I don't really understand what happened, but Adam Gilchrist, F45 Adam Gilchrist, had to step away as the CEO of the company, and I think a bunch of them closed, and David Beckham was really grumpy that he wasn't getting paid for stuff. All right. But before that happened, I'm really pleased by this, because I was reading about rugby league in America, because I was reading about John Bradshaw Layfield trying to stop black-on-black crime in Barbados. Disregard. The team which folded 3 years ago in 2022 was the Austin Gilgronis. And I looked that up and I I couldn't. I thought Gilgroni must be like a mythical American creature that I don't know about. And I clicked on it. I'm just going to read this. On September 19, 2019, after extensive polling at the end of the 2019 campaign, the team opted to rename itself the Herd. So they had been previously known as the Austin Elite. Then they became the Austin Herd. Prior to the 2020 season, Adam Gilchrist purchased the team and renamed it the Gilgronis, a reference to a yet-to-be-produced cocktail based on the Negroni. Although the eponymous cocktail appears to just be a Negroni with a different name. So before F45 collapsed, he bought a professional Austin-based, this Australian bought an Austin, Texas rugby league team as a marketing ploy for his beverage, the Gilgroni. Here's a second weird thing. He also bought the LA Giltinis for a second drink in the same competition. Now, I don't think you can do that. I don't think, like, if you're an owner of a football club, right, you've got to be all in on that football club as the owner. You've got to want them to win. If you own two football clubs, that's just transparent dickhead marketing stuff. Anyway, he also founded the Giltinis. And story gets weirder because the teams got better over his ownership in the following years. They started to do pretty well. And the Gilgronis, they made it to the playoffs in 2022, but then they were disqualified in the postseason for violating league rules. And no one really knows what has, it's not, the league didn't really announce it, but it looks like he pumped extra money and he broke the salary cap. That's what people are alleging. I don't know, but the Gilgronis broke the salary cap. Around this time, the stock price starts to collapse, and they go, you can't be involved in this anymore. You've got to sell the Gilgronis and the Giltinis. And possibly because he's named them after himself and drinks that he's had been planning to invent, nobody buys them. And so even though the teams were doing way better, they both just fold. And now Austin doesn't have a rugby league team, even though they had a stadium, Bold Stadium, 5,000. They played at a stadium just south of the river that had a 5,000 seat capacity. Here's my favorite part of it all, is that at no point that I can tell over the 3 years that he owned this team, these two teams, did he ever actually get around to inventing the cocktail? The cocktail? I'm yet to find. If anyone can find it, please let me know. I can't find. Also, people did not like that the team got renamed the Gilgronis. Yeah. And it ruined the team, because when he became financially unstable, no one who bought it wanted the team to continue being cool. The IP was trashed. Isn't that a joy? Now, I'm not saying that Adam Gilchrist, who we're talking about here, not the cricket player, was doing a huge amount of cocaine. But I've never heard anything that sounded like the activities of a cocaine addict more than having a rapid expansion of a cult-like gym into America, buying two rugby league teams, changing their names to be portmanteaus of your own name and a cocktail for drinks that you never get around to inventing, breaking the rules on how much you're paying the players, and then having the teams just disappear. This Adam Gilchrist does not have a Wikipedia page. He's not a very public person. There's one photo of him at the stock exchange with the big bell when F45 becomes a publicly traded stock. It's since done so badly it's been taken down. Really, nothing has just about ever made me happier than reading that last night. And I couldn't sleep. And then around that point, you're like, you know, rightly so, honey. My sweet wife Taylor's in the room. What are you doing? And I couldn't tell you all of that then. You're welcome. I was happy to save that for you. What a joy. Hello, welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Had to get that off the chest. Didn't know what to do with it. It's not quite a movie. It's definitely not a play. It's a funny article. But it happened ages ago, so no one's interested in that now. I would love to meet with Adam Gilchrist and ask if that was cocaine-related behaviour. It would be nice to go and meet the cricket player, Adam Gilchrist, and ask him about it and just have him continually say, but it's not me. But now I know, so that would be silly. Hey, great things happening here on the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. The Patreon continues to grow. And thank you to everybody reading Wimbledog. We're working on some Wimbledog merch. Thank you to everyone who's come out to the shows. I'm recording a special this week in Philadelphia. I think one of the shows sold out and one of the shows is well on track. So we're filming two shows in Philadelphia and then I'm off to Pittsburgh, San Jose, Baltimore, Sacramento. So much coming up, so much to do. Book of Poems coming out soon. Board game, we're hard at work. I went for a swim this evening. I don't mind telling this anecdote. So before summer really got into swing, we had started going swimming, and there were no lifeguards at the pool. And so if you went to the pool and nobody was there, you could just swim on your own. So it's open to members, but then for summer they get lifeguards in there. And I went for a swim in the evening. And one thing that's changed with summer, as you may be able to tell by the way that I'm setting this up, is that lifeguards are the teenagers. Tonight it was three teenage girls, and I was swimming quite late, and it's just me. It's just me doing laps while three teenage girls sit on high chairs and watch me swim. And we have no rapport, the teenage girls and I. We don't talk. They don't talk to each other. They're very focused on making sure I don't drown. It's worse, for sure. Feels quite weird to be surveilled by, I guess they'd be 16 to 18. I can't ask them to go away. Then there's some pressure because I'm the last person there and they're going to start shutting it up when I stop swimming. Incredible pressure to wrap up a bit early. You know, they've got class in the morning. I think they're probably off school. But I thought that was weird. I have no more to say about that, except that I found that super. As I'm swimming, thinking about the Gilgroni. Man, I mean, maybe they did bring out the Gilgroni and I just didn't look enough for it. The Gilgroni. I wonder if I could get the Gilgroni, if it does exist, to sponsor the pod. What is a Gilgroni?
Is it like, was he inventing a cocktail to be served in bars or like a canned cocktail?
It's not clear. So in 2021, a Giltini was just a gilly beer in an oversized martini glass.
So he's got a beer. No, there's nothing. AG Rugby is their Instagram page. People on Reddit going, lads, what is going on with this? It was quite a popular thing. They got 14,000 likes on Facebook. And you can watch them play their game. They were a real team. And they got people in from around the world. And when they broke up, people were sad. And they were a really good team. But I cannot for the life of me find anything about the actual drink. There was a change.org petition asking them to stop naming teams after drinks. They got 524 signatures. Major League Rugby club owners, first off, thank you for investing in American rugby, but we got to talk about these names here. Gilgronis, Giltinis, seriously? Stop. Just stop with this trash. Name your clubs something that fans will actually be proud to support, represent, and share with friends and family. The absurd naming after a cocktail scheme does nothing to help American rugby and makes it hard to view it as anything more than a laughingstock. Again, favorite part about it, seemingly the drinks don't exist. I mean, would that I had the confidence to do something like that. The drink that I had often thought about making was the McCann Shandy. I mean, I've got a similar, Adam Gilchrist and I, we've had similar thoughts before, but I thought Shandy in a can. Hand Shandy is slang in Australia for a sort of manual release, if you will. But the, yeah, McCann Shandy. Shandy in a can. Shandy being a lemonade and beer blended together. Not a drink that I like, and perhaps that's why. I had a friend once tell me it was impossible. He said the alcohol would eat up the lemonade and it would become extra alcoholic in the can, and there's nothing you could do about that. And since then, people have told me that was insane and not true. So I don't... I don't know the legalities, but if I ever do come out with a drink, I would call it the McCann Shandy. McShandy. Maybe the McShandy. But I don't think I would. I mean, how much does it cost to buy a professional sports team? A low-level professional sports team. There is the Austin Crows, who I assume have an owner, and they are like the Adelaide Crows, and I met some people from the Austin Crows at a show not long ago. They've invited me to go and watch a game, so I'll go down with some of the nascent AFL football fans in America, hopefully at some point during the season. But I don't think I'm on track to... I mean, Shane did talk about... He said, could I buy the Adelaide Crows? And I remember saying that it was owned by the club, like the league owns all the clubs, and... To the American disposition, I think this is a very hateful... There should be an owner. It shouldn't be owned by the club. And to me as well. I mean, I've often complained about that. But I wonder if Shane... Maybe I'll... I'll say, listen, if you're still interested, there is a football team here in Austin. The Austin Crows. You could buy that. And then you got to call them the Crotinis. Oh, mercy me, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, I won't talk about that anymore. That's really pleased me. I've otherwise been in a pit of despair. And just in the middle of all this touring and all these plans. Tay, my sweet wife, pottering around the bedroom, cleaning things, putting things away while I earn the money. We're both working in our own way, but it does look like she's working more than me. And... I tried this podcast format last night on the Patreon, where you can get both that podcast and Wimbledog. And it worked then, but now, post-swim, I don't feel as comfortable post-swim as I thought. Ooh, I'll say this. We are... So I'm filming the special, and I've got a bunch of shows coming up. And then we're going to drive to California. That's our plan. That's our nice... My sweet family has not seen as much of America as I have. I think I've seen now 40 states. I think I'm up to 40 states. And Tay and the kids have seen about five. So that doesn't seem fair. So I'm taking everybody to California. What have you got there? What is that? What is that? Oh, that's part of a tripod that broke. I think we might throw that out. We can pop that in the bin. Thank you, baby. Yes, we're driving over, and I thought it would be an exciting drive, and then I've looked at it, and then just looking at the map, I go, oh, that's a lot of nothing. But we're used to that as people who drive around Australia, or have done in the past. So I think we'll get to stop at El Paso, Texas. And El Paso, mostly known to me for the old El Paso taco kit. In Australia, when you buy a taco kit from the grocery store, the supermarket, it's called El Paso. I don't think there's enough in that for me to really... Apparently, it's a real town. 600,000 people. I know very little about it. Any hot tips of things to see in El Paso, would love to hear about. There is a town on the way. What was it called? Maffa? Maffa. There's a community in the middle of the Texas desert near Big Bend of artists. And I think they shot No Country for Old Men there. And so that was one option to stop at. But I think in that, you know, and if we find that it's a bit hard to getting all the way to El Paso in one day's drive from Austin, I think we'll just stop at Maffa. And one thing in Maffa that I'd like to see is that they have an art installation in this small desert town of a Prada store. Was it a Prada store? Yeah. A Prada store. I thought that would be a good location to do the podcast. But it is a long way to drive to look at some modern art exhibitions for someone who's not a modern art fan. So we'll get up there. What I'd like to do after El Paso is we could either just drive sort of straight on through, or we can head up to Sedona. I've heard a lot of nice things about Sedona. It looks incredible. It's going to be very, very hot for this drive. There is a Chapel of the Holy Cross that looks sort of like built into the cliffs. I would like to go and see that. Population, 9,819. So if half of them wanted to go and watch the Gilgronis, they could. Excuse me. So possibly Sedona. And then on to... Maybe we could go and see the Grand Canyon. Tay, my wife, has no interest at all, I don't think, in seeing Las Vegas. But I've been told the hotels in Las Vegas are very cheap and very nice, honey. Because they expect you to gamble a lot. Would I gamble a lot? I would gamble a little if we had a conversation about that. Would you gamble a little? You know, like, you wouldn't play a single hand of craps? I don't know if you play a hand of craps. Gosh, there's a lot of Indian reservations around there. In fact, the Grand Canyon is sort of bordered on all sides by reservations. I don't think we've been to a reservation. I've driven through Choctaw country in Oklahoma. Choctaw Nation and Cherokee Nation. And Muscogee and Chicksaw. Tulsa, actually, is just in... Wow, I didn't know that about Tulsa. Tulsa's part of the reservation? Tulsa's part of three different reservations? I didn't get that vibe in Tulsa at all. But I'm looking at it now, and it appears to be. No one in Tulsa told me about that, I don't think. No one said we're on Indian land. Oh, does that mean there are two law codes functioning? One for Native, one for white? Very exciting. Looking forward to finding out more about that. So, yes, we got it. I mean, it's a bloody long drive here that we're looking at. We can go to Tucson. People say very nice things about Tucson, Arizona. People say less nice things about Phoenix, but I enjoyed my time in Phoenix. But among most of the country, I think Phoenix is considered to be what we in Australia would call a hole. But I liked Phoenix and the people of Phoenix. And then I guess on to San Diego, America's finest town, they call it. So that's an option. My wife has no interest in popping across the border down Mexico way either. I think our interests overlap on Grand Canyon. I think we'd probably both like to see the Grand Canyon. But then we'll be in California, and then we're just going to drive around California for a month with the fam and have, I think, a very nice time. We're going to see our friend Ruby. Hey, there's a place called Death Valley. That's where The Undertaker's from, I think. Death Valley. I think we're going to drive through Death Valley. You don't want to drive through Death Valley? We could see a shadow there and walk through it. Like in that song. And then on the way back, I mean, it depends on time. Depends on patience. We've got three small kids in the car. I'd love to take the family through Utah and Colorado. Beautiful mountain driving on the way back. But my ambition for going to Denver is largely... I had a great time doing a show at the Comedy Works in Denver. Would love to come back, but I don't have enough new material. But I would really, really like to go to Casa Bonita in Denver. Having watched that documentary, I'm sure it's very hard to get in. We can go all the way up to Sacramento, which in my mind is like in Northern California, but it's actually closer to being in the middle. Oh, I mean, let's not make the podcast just me looking at the map. Let's make the podcast a little more meaningful. You know what? I'm going to go back to the start of the podcast, and I'm going to talk about Berlin. Berlin will be the first. Well, you have already heard it. Anyway, but I'm having the idea to do it now. One moment. I thought I could go through, like, the Berlin news and maybe do some news about Berlin, but it's all pretty grisly. There was an elderly man stabbed and a motorcycle crash that killed somebody, and some protests about a change in Iranian leadership, and also other protests. But here's a fun thing, is someone called Von Drusova has beaten Wang Xingyu for the Berlin Open. So that's nice, isn't it? So we want to shout out... that's also Wang Xingyu's first WTA singles final. Congratulations, Wang Xingyu, for getting to very nearly the end, and for Von Drusova. I don't know how alert the people of Berlin are. It's just very important that we grow the fan base in Berlin. I have no ideas. I have no... And I can't... I don't want to go into detail about why it's important. But if you're in Berlin, please get in touch. Maybe we start that club. Oh, I'm all over the place. I'm having a real... Whoo! I'm sad because we finished Severance and we don't have a show that we watch now. That was so nice. We were so happy lying in each other's arms, sweet wife, and watching Severance. And now we have no show to watch. Maybe there's a show about Berlin. Maybe they'd like that. Maybe there's some Berlin music. Maybe I could eat Berlin. And not the Berliner. I eat the city of Berlin. One fun fact I know about Berlin is I think they had an underground railroad network that when the city was partitioned, some stops you were not allowed to get off at because they were communist stops or liberal democracy stops. And so they like carved up the underground into two different undergrounds. Does that sound fun? Fun in what way? Yeah, just like a fun fact that people in Berlin might like hearing.
But they probably know. Wouldn't the people of Berlin...
They would know. They would know. That's more fun for the other people. Well, I want everyone to enjoy finding out about, you know, I have to serve two purposes here. Yes, that's the triptych that a man gave me when I was on the road. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely? What about if I could find a famous person in Berlin and get them on the pod? Hold on, give me one sec. I'm looking at this list of people and they're all either dead or I don't know who they are. There's not one. Now, here we go. Reddit might help us. Nope, those are just people. These are just random people in Berlin. The woman who sings Celine Dion on the U-Bahn. Maybe that would be good. I'd have to go to bloody Berlin. I can't. It's not a good time for me to go to Berlin, all right?
Celebrities. Here we go. Ranker. Top celebrities from Berlin. All right. Katrina Witt. She was a German figure skater. I don't know her. Elke Sommer. Blonde bombshell. Born amid the devastation of World War II and raised by her Protestant parents to revere God and animals. Maturing into a strapping young woman. Big tits. Who seemed the personification of beauty in nature. All right, so she's, I think, still alive. That's an option. I don't know these people. Rudolf Pierce, Bill Graham, Dominic Monaghan. Well, not a household name. We might just have to go Germany more generally to get... I mean, who's a very... is there a famous German person? Oh, so you think if I... hold on. So, if I, yes, I can find something like that rugby league story, but about Germany. Set in Germany. Berlin, specifically, would be great. Well, Berlin listeners, if you know a fun story like that story about the Gilgroni in Berlin, I'd love to hear about it. Otherwise, here is my list of German people that I could try and interview. Angela Merkel. Unlikely that I could get Angela Merkel. More likely, Heidi Klum. I actually do have a... my wife and I both have a very strong interest in Heidi Klum. As repeat watchers of Project Runway and her less well, I think it's been, I don't think there's, we're getting another season of Making the Cut. I don't think Make the Cut has made the cut. Claudia Schiffer is from Berlin. Did you know that? Michael Schumacher? That would be huge if I could talk to Michael Schumacher. I think he's, people accuse him of having some sort of zombie like existence. Oh, very famous German. Is she still alive? Is Nina still alive? 99 Luftballons? She's still alive. She's still gigging. Yeah, I'm sorry. How often is that going off? Fairly often. We have to get that fixed. Thank you. Yes, I wonder if I could meet with Nina. I wonder if Nina has a new record. 99 Luftballons. She had a solo album. Look at this. She had a solo album come out in 2020. She won 5 years before that. Her last album was Licht, which means light in English. I thought it might mean lick. Do we think we can? Do we think? And that would be good. We could use that somehow. Nina, looking for another hit. The album actually did quite well in Germany. It went to in the official top 100. Got to number 3. One thing I will just say on this, I mean, this is not my best podcast ever. I'm very sorry, but I am getting it to go for over a half hour. So that's something. We've been watching the number one song in lieu of having a show, the number one song in sequence on the Billboard Top 100. And I think we made it to the end of the 70s and we're starting out with the 80s. I was shocked to discover that Bohemian Rhapsody was not, at the time of its release, a number one hit in the United States of America. And it's not as though there was great music coming out at that same time to keep that song out of there. I think maybe they saw that and they, you know, people in the Midwest might have seen that and thought, I don't. Proceeding not to do a Midwest accent. I do not believe that. These four gentlemen from the United Kingdom. Anyway, whatever. I didn't realize that Queen didn't make it in America until later. I think it's their 80s work that really landed in America. But shocking. Also, David Bowie. David Bowie's not on any of these charts. Did you realize that David Bowie wasn't on there? There's not that many British breakthroughs. The Rolling Stones breakthrough, the Beatles breakthrough. The only Aussie to get number ones is Olivia Newton-John, who every one of her songs is just a sad, unpleasant number until she's in the Grease soundtrack, which births two number ones. Frankie Valli with Grease. Frankie Valli is looking old even then in the 70s. He's looking real old. And I think he's only recently stopped performing. But the big thing, one of the big takeaways is everyone's wearing like satin and sequins all through the 70s. And I must say, the disco music does I hated it by the end of that. I think we listened to random disco songs for 20 minutes as a part of that video. And by the end, I got the anti-disco sentiment. One of my favorite, now if there's a story like this about Berlin, I'd like to hear it. Although, given what the story is, I'm sure it'll be a Nazi thing, and it's not as helpful for making the people of Berlin feel good about themselves and me, but there was a riot. There was an anti-disco riot at a baseball game where they blew up disco records. Let me find out about this. My wife said quietly while I paused there to bring it up, she said, it sounds racist. And I think it was accused of being racist. You got entry for 98 cents if you brought a disco record to destroy. It was a Major League Baseball promotion, July 12, 1979. I mean, by that point, you would have been so sick of disco. Disco's been, like, anyway. I think people must have gone out and bought, or maybe taken their friends' disco records. At the climax of the event, a crate filled with disco records was blown up on the field between games of the doubleheader between the White Sox and Detroit. Many had come to see the explosion rather than the games and rushed onto the field after the demolition. The playing field was so damaged by the explosion and by the rioters that the White Sox were required to forfeit the second game. In the late 70s, dance-oriented disco was the most popular music genre in the United States. Yes, it was. However, it sparked a major backlash from rock music fans. And the White Sox, during a lackluster season, they got an anti-disco campaigner to promote it. So they were ready to destroy the disco music. They'd hoped for a crowd of 20,000, 5,000 more than usual. Instead, 50,000 people came to the stadium to watch the disco records be destroyed. Many of the records were not collected by staff and were thrown like flying discs from the stands. After Dahl blew up the records, thousands of fans stormed the field and remained there until dispersed by riot police. Some scholars and disco artists, imagine being a scholar into disco. I'm a disco scholar. That could be a good disco track. I'm a scholar of the disco scholar, hoot and holler. Well, what about it? I don't know how it goes. I'll leave that for someone else. Although I could give all the main vocal tracks now and then, much like that, looking for a man in finance. Have you seen that original video? She's like, I'm looking for a man in finance, 6'5", blue eyes. Or there's the guy who goes, sitting is the opposite of standing. And maybe someone could take what I say. So I've got to pick very carefully because this could be a number one that someone could make. I'm a disco scholar and I'm here to study disco in a scholarly way. Disco scholar. Woo. Disco scholar. Scholar. Academia. Bulimia. Mecha you screamia. I'm a disco scholar in academia. Play my... my books will make you dance and screamia. It's not strong. It's not strong. Disco scholar... Is what... I mean, does anything rhyme with scholar? Disco scholar. Hoot and holler. Fats Waller. Oh, dollar. Sugar. Isn't it nice to have the wife in the room? I need a dollar, disco scholar. Do it for a dollar. 98 cents is less than a dollar. My name's James and I'm a disco scholar. Scholar, I might just look up scholar rhymes. I don't know that anyone's actually going to make this into a disco track, but we've got to give you the chance. We've got to give you the opportunity. You deserve the opportunity to make this into a number one best-selling hit. Who's on the phone? Hey, yes. What's your name, caller? My name's James and I'm a disco scholar. Everybody's working. Crawler, follow a dollar. Platform shoes make me taller. I'm a kisser and a dancer and a lover, not a brawler. Brawler. I'm a kisser and a dancer and a reader, not a brawler. Scholar. Scholar. I'm a kisser and a dancer and a scholar, not a brawler. Let's get going. Please don't staller.
I'm in the library with, and I'm a scrawler. scrawler. Man, some of the rhymes that they put in here must be must be AI generated, because I don't think SS collar would be, dog collar would be easy, wouldn't it? Rather than SS collar, but it's recommending footballer. Oh, that's only the two syllable ones. Don't play sport, not a footballer. Yes, me, I'm a disco scholar. Top dollar. I'll just give you a bunch of rhymes that you can use and you can fashion a rap. Silver dollar. Well, a lot of these are just the word Gustav Mahler. A lot of academics love Gustav Mahler, but not me. I'm a disco scholar. Sorry, say that again, honey. Valhalla. Valhalla. I haven't gotten to that. Vikings die, they go to Valhalla. Valhalla. Vikings die, go to Valhalla. I go to... Where can I go as a disco scholar where the music's really loud and the... Anyway, you'll have to do a lot of... You'll have to do a lot of editing. Bang for my dollar. Loosen their collar. Mexican dollar. A lot of them is just dollar. Bang for the dollar. Bang for his dollar. Bang for her dollar. Bang for one's dollar. Bang for our dollar. Colonial dollar. Electronic collar. Electronic collar. Compensated dollar. Hot under the collar. Oh, I don't know how to say this one. Otmar Mergenthaler? Ooh, who's Otmar Mergenthaler? He was a German-American inventor who invented the linotype machine. I don't study Otmar Mergenthaler. Otmar Mergenthaler. Disco scholar. East Caribbean dollar? Oh, what is that? I thought that would be a guy's name, but it's part of the testicle. Vaz Aberrans of Halle. Vaz Aberrans of Halle. It's a testicular appendage. I don't know. But I feel confident going, I can feel it way down in my... I can feel it in my vast aberrans of holla. You know me, I'm a disco scholar. I'll give some different disco scholar tags. Disco scholar. Woo! Disco scholar. Friedrich Gustav Emil Martin Niemöller. Who is he? Disco scholar. Woo! Disco. I'll give you some harmonies. Disco scholar, disco scholar, disco scholar, disco scholar, disco scholar, disco scholar, disco scholar. If you layer that up, I think you'll get a nice harmony of me going disco scholar. What do you mean? To pitch up and down. Yeah. Oh yeah, but I don't want them to lose bitrate with. I want them to get a good harmony. I want them to enjoy. I want to make it a bit easier for them. Would you like a scat solo for disco scholar? Ski bada doo, a scoobity dee, ski bop doop bop, disco scholar. Ooh. Skip up a doo, skip it up a doo, skip up a deep dop doo bop boo, scoop up a bop a deep bop boo, disco scholar, that's what I am, disco scholar, I'm a man, disco scholar, what's the plan, studying disco to 3 a.m. Get it more interesting. How long have I been doing this? It's a long time. Well, I didn't know this is what the podcast would become. If people editing this can maybe give it a Berlin feel, that would really help me. I study in the disco, that's what I do. Hard to read, the lights flash at you. reading books and learning things. The mysteries that disco brings. A rap section is very important. And then, like, lady, what about, you don't want to do any backup heart vocals? You don't want to get on Disco Scholar? So, Martin Niemöller was a German theologian. That's great. He opposed the Nazi regime. Niemöller. How do I say it? Maybe you can include that. That's on Wikipedia, so that's free. I'll hold that up.
Martin Niemöller.
Hello, my name is Martin Niemöller. I probably don't have to be Martin Niemöller. I think he was a Martin Niemöller is the guy who said, first they came. You know that one? First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. First they came for the country and Western. I did not speak out because I'm not a country and Western. Then they came for the R&B, but I don't jive with that kind of scene. Then they came for... I think that could be a fun part of the song. I don't think people usually give this much to people. First they came for the R&B. I said, hey man, that's got nothing to do with me. Then they came for the... another genre. Rock and roll? Roll. Hole. Goal. Soul. Mole. Soul. I think soul. Then they came for rock and roll. I said, that music has got no soul. Then they came for the disco jams. And I said, man, that's what I am. I love disco. Yes, I do. Studying it all the way through school. If you can't do something with that, don't be thinking that at the end of this podcast, I've put that all together to make a song. No. I won't be doing that. The podcast ends now. Catamaran ho, everybody. I love you. I miss you. I want you. I need you. Disco Scholar. Woo! All right.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big money at Menards and stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products. We carry quality products from brands you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towels, toilet paper, dish soap, and more. Save big money on Procter & Gamble products now through February 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.